Welcome to Geeks of the North, a hobby and gaming podcast in the Dolph of Angus. We're here to paint some miniatures and talk about the hobby, so why don't you sit back, relax, grab a paintbrush, and enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome to Geeks of the North, your hobby and gaming podcast in the Dolph of Angus. As always, I am your host, Paul Filio, here once again with my most excellent co-host, Antoine Bergeron.
Hello.
And also with us this week is my second co-host, question mark? I need a cool title for you, Yom. What's a co-host in waiting? No, that doesn't work. What's a cool name for Yom? Well, let's go with Yom. It's Yom!
Yom is enough. Yom is enough.
One Hello. Yom is always Hello. Enough. How's it going, Yom?
Doing fine. Concrete is in full effect, but...
I avoided it somehow. I don't know how. I was trapped for 15 hours in the car with you on the way back or whatever. And somehow you didn't manage to pass it to me.
Good, man. I'm happy, man.
Or I proved too strong.
I was trying. Yeah, maybe you're just too strong. I was trying not to contaminate other people. But I filled up with meds, so I should be okay for the recording.
Excellent. We'll try to make it quick and painless. Oh, wait, you're on here, so your hobby section is not going to be quick or painless, but that's okay. We'll endure. So, yeah, Antoine, it's been a few days. We had some bad news before the Adepticon.
Yep.
And unfortunately, you could not make it. It was kind of a last-minute snafu to the plans.
Yeah, the night just before, so...
Yep, you were missed. People were looking for you. But we have not given up all hope. Someday in the distant future, we'll figure out a way to make this happen.
Yeah, we'll see.
Gotta believe, Antoine. Gotta believe.
You were missed for real. I was looking forward to do this trip with you too.
Well, we had this whole campaign in the car thing planned, right? We were going to play some RPG in the car.
Yeah.
Past that crazy long drive. Instead, all I had was Yom to listen to.
No, you had G too.
Yeah, I tell you, I was so tired at the end of the drive that G's strategy started sounding good. No, seriously, it was not the same without you.
I was really looking forward to it.
Sorry.
But it didn't work out, so.
Real life happens, right?
Yep.
Darn real life and responsibilities involved therein. So, let's look at the document for tonight that I haven't really added anything to. What are we working on tonight? I'll start, because I'm the host. As always, for the last 3 months, or last 2 months, whatever it's been, seems like forever. I'm working on a judgment figure. I was going to say that I've almost done them all, except that's a lie, because I bought seven more at the con. So, I'm almost done my original purchase.
You went really crazy at the con with judgment.
Well, in my defense, it's not like I can just buy them anywhere, right? We're in Canada. And, go ahead.
It was infectious. Because you got me in too.
Yeah, well, you bought a couple models for... Let's face it, they're for painting. They're not for playing.
You know me too well.
Yeah.
But they have different styles, the judgment models, but some of them really talk to me. So they really, like... By their on their own, they're, like, good standalone painting pieces.
Mm-hmm. Though I find that the... Yes, they are. But I find that some of their styles mimic figures by other companies pretty well. For example, you bought Zonya, right? The orc warrior woman?
Yep.
And she makes me think very much, I think it's Black Sun Miniatures.
Yeah.
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 I think, in fact, actually Liz Hunt painted the model I'm thinking of last year and entered it in something or other, a crystal brush maybe.
No, it might be one of the reasons that I took her, but and also, like, I have a thing for orcs, as you know. So.
Yeah, I know you're an orc fetish. Orc fetishist. But, I mean, she's a great model. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to take anything away from her. But I get the impression that sculpt was heavily inspired. Or maybe it's just a big coincidence. Who knows?
Well, no, it's too close. It's too close to be a coincidence. It's basically the same model with a different pose, but it's basically the same thing. They both look good. I don't know how they got away with it, but they both look good. Maybe Black Sun just doesn't care. I don't know.
Are they by the same sculptor?
I don't know.
You're usually the guy that knows those things, Antoine.
Not sculptors. That's a bit too specific.
I really don't know. I think Judgment does list who the sculptor of the models are on their...
I'm sure they do, but...
I don't know if I care enough to check right this moment.
Yeah, and by the time we find it, we should probably be further up in the episode.
A fair point. Yeah, so I have to say I'm working on Judgment. I'm working on Bastion, who is a supporter. He is one of the plastic models that comes in the starter box. I'm doing my best to ruin him. Which is unfortunate, because he had a good start. I think my lack of sleep over the last few days is just making my painting not so good. We're going to go with that. That's my excuse. What are you working on, Antoine?
Trying to finish my sculpting commission. I don't have much left to do, but last week was a void for Obby. And I'm still into an Obby void, like, prepping for the convention and finally not going pretty killed most of my miniature mojo. So I've not done that in probably years, but I've been playing video games in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been playing Mario Karts and other small games, either with the kids or at night, and doing like RPG prep, all stuff that I haven't done in decennies. So. Yeah, but
in what?
It's a French term. 10 years,
decades.
Yeah, decades. Yeah,
I was like, in the who to what? Now?
I didn't. it didn't come to my mind. Yeah, in decades, maybe. So, but that commission needs to be done. So, I'm patching up the small defects I had after curing, and finish up the arm, and it should be ready to go next week.
Nice.
Yep. I'm really happy where it's going, but it's just the finishing touch that are a bit of a problem. But after that...
It'll be smooth sailing?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the smoothest model I've worked on. Like, the final result is really nice.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see how it cast up. If it works out.
Are you casting for the gentleman too?
No, I'm just doing the sculpting. He has his own casting setup. And that's perfect, because after all this casting I've done in the last 2 months, I still need to learn. So I won't take casting projects for other people for a while. Just casting my own stuff is already a challenge, so that's enough for me.
No, hey, it's better to realize your limitations than
Than
to take contracts on what you can't do.
And end up with a subpar product. Yes.
Yep. Thank you.
Don't be Games and Gears. I mean, don't do it, Ant.
If we were in the States, I would probably not even have tried to cast myself. But with the added cost of shipping and everything, and the small quantities I do, it's like I would need to charge so much for my tiny models. If I was doing like bigger, more detailed piece, I could sell for like boutique price, maybe. But for my tiny stuff, it makes no sense.
Yeah, but your tiny stuff is well loved.
Yeah, it didn't really show and sell, so.
Well.
No.
Okay. I will say this. You know, Jean Agile did a favor and hosted your stuff at his booth, which was super nice of him. But where he was positioned in the con and where it was positioned, no one could see it, right? And because there wasn't a display of it, and it was all tiny, tiny little chibi miniatures, like it just...
I didn't attract. I know I need to work on my setup, for sure. At least I had the little stand, but it's not like my logo is recognized, or if I had minis out. Like, I was working on painting some samples, but they were not ready, and I didn't have any way to display them anyway, so...
Yeah, it was just tough.
Yeah. But it's new stuff. Like, the display is new, and by the next convention, I'll probably still not be able to go, but I have friends that could show up my stuff. I might have a better display.
Yeah, I mean, the people that did buy bought fair amounts, right? I mean, Rhonda Bender bought like $20 worth of your stuff, right? Yeah.
Well, I was thinking about Rhonda. It's like she found a gold mine.
and I want them all. And Yeji bought a bunch of stuff.
I know my cousin was there with his sister, and his sister bought a lot too. So pretty all my sales are from those three people.
And I think G bought some miscasts and stuff. So you sold. You just, you know, maybe not as much as you intended, but they sold.
Have to start somewhere.
Yep, for sure. Well, and it's hard to push them when I'm not there myself.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, Jean Vigil's booth mostly attracted 40k players, right? Giant 40k pieces of terrain.
Yeah, for sure.
Probably not your target audience for little chibi animals.
Yeah, I would probably need to talk with other friends who have probably... Like, it was a really great from Jean Vigil to help me, but I should probably tag along with somebody with a product that's closest to mine.
But it's not only that, it's also like in the painter's area, if you had a little display or like a friend who is painting there and has them all in front of him, mm-hmm. you will gather interest in that section and then you can tell people where they are.
Yeah, but I wouldn't want to force one of my friends to paint in the area to promote my sale.
Everybody already paints in that area.
Yeah, but they're probably not painting little
plenty of
cartoon platypus, so... Anyway, that's enough about the guy that was not at the convention. So, what are you working on tonight?
Well, it's been a while I've been on the show, so let's see. What do we have?
No, not what you've painted, what you're working on now. That's not the same.
Oh, okay.
We're going to skip the other part.
Dodged a bullet there.
I was mostly kidding to have a reaction from Steve while he listens to the show. But now I'm working on bases for my next commission. I also have a bunch of bases that, if I have time, will be for my own band of Pulp City, band of superheroes. Villains. Yay! Because I found some like city Terran that could work on my bases. So
you found?
Yeah, no, you found and you told me, and then I found. No, that was pretty a good I could say a good find for good spotting from you.
Good find, yep.
Good find from you. Yep. So there was like basically it was a drop zone stand that was selling a bunch of TT Combat, I think.
TT Combat, yeah. So they're selling Rumble Slam, Drop Zone stuff.
Yeah.
And then a bunch of resin things.
So just all those blisters, and you have to dig a bit, but it was perfect.
Yeah, $10 a blister for resin stuff.
But yeah, currently I'm working on bases for commission because I put old commission on hold while I was painting models for Crystal Brush. But now that I'm back, commission reopens, because as much as painting minis for yourself is fun and cool, and painting artsy stuff is fun, money is really good too, so reopening and starting with one little commission of two retribution casters. But they are in the airbrush booth right now, and I don't want to do airbrush while I record with you.
Oh, thank you, Yom.
I work on the bases right now.
God bless you, Yom.
See, I think ow.
I don't know if you saw it on the camera. I was shaking paint, and I lost the paint, and it hit me in the face. I was so distracted by Yom not being a complete arsehole on the show and airbrushing that I lost control of my motor functions.
But that's it, really, because games, same thing. I didn't play the week before Adepticon, and I didn't play during Adepticon, so the only games are like 2 or 3 weeks away, so I won't talk about them. More time for Adepticon.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I can go over my Adepticon games quickly before we actually talk about the con. I didn't really play much, so. I was supposed to play in a Judgment tournament, but that did not happen.
Shall we say why?
Sure. Because Yom is a jerk. No, I'm just kidding. because the night before that tournament. Okay, maybe a little bit. Actually, let me back this up a little bit. So, going to Adepticon with people who had only been to Chicago once, or who'd never been to Chicago at all, and had never experienced all the Chicago, staples. Like,
delicacies.
Yeah. Like Portillo's, and like deep dish Chicago style pizza. So I wanted to make sure that while we were there, they got to try these things. Cause, they're kind of like cultural icons. And we decided one night, okay, we're going to do deep dish pizza. But Yom's painting classes were all in the evening. And we had tournaments during the day. So tournaments finishing at 6, Yom's classes at 8. Anyone who's ordered a Chicago deep dish pizza knows it takes about an hour to prepare. So it just couldn't work out. So we decided we'd go late after Yom's class. Mistake number one.
Yes, that was our mistake.
Now, again, this plan would have been okay, except that night there happened to be a party. And, Yom asked if, because class finished at 10, and I'd already been drinking at this point. And, you wanted to have some fun. He's like, do you mind if we stay for a bit and visit with the people before we go? I'm like, yeah, sure, no problem. He's like, it'll only be 15 minutes. No problem. So about an hour later, we decided to go for pizza.
40 minutes. My 15 minutes became 40 minutes.
Right. So an hour later, we decided to go get pizza. Schaumburg, suburb of Chicago, is not exactly like downtown Montreal. So stuff closes early. And taking into account cooking time, we had to hunt for a pizza place. And we finally found one, but it was around midnight. Okay, no problem. So we ordered the pizza. And I think I kept telling Yom that it took an hour to cook the pizza. I think he thought I was kind of exaggerating. But I wasn't. So we ordered the pizza, and we picked it up just before 1 a.m., and then we drove back to our hotel and ate Chicago deep dish pizza at 1 a.m. I decided to stick to one slice. Others were more adventurous. But I sometimes have digestive problems. I'm going to chalk it up to being old. And that pizza did not sit so well for me. So I could not sleep that night. I was up all night. I had terrible stomach pains. I got a lot of painting done. I painted judgment figures for the tournament the next morning. But I never made it to that tournament because I just really couldn't leave my bathroom. So the event I'd worked and prepped so hard for weeks leading up to Adepticon, I didn't get to attend. However,
which is somewhat my fault, but to be fair to me,
I didn't blame you.
When I got out of my class, it was late and there was a party, and I offered to cancel the plan.
Right. But I like how you're also neglecting the whole thing where you came out to me before your class and you're like, you're not going to bail, right? You won't bail, right? Like, because, you know, I've turned down other dinners, so you're not going to bail, right?
Yep.
So I didn't bail. So STFU.
But you had dinner also. I didn't have dinner, but you had. Like, because no. I had like a...
I didn't have dinner.
Yeah, we went to Kuma's. Went to Kuma's at 5, but I didn't eat because I had lunch at 3 o'clock.
Sorry, you mean breakfast. That was the first meal of my day. So, yes, 7 hours later, I was hungry again. Shocking surprise.
So, mistake.
It was a delicious burger at Kuma's. I won't say.
When your breakfast is a Kuma burger at 5 o'clock, mistake number
two. Yes, because that day we'd been in a Guild Ball tournament. We were playing the Guild Ball team tournament. It is a silly rule set, which can be lots of fun. We had some good games. I was teamed up with the other Guillaume, who we will call G. And G had misread the rules of the tournament. And I'm pretty sure if I look at our chat logs, I had explained them myself. But I think he just forgot. So he thought it was like, you know, a standard team tournament where we're both playing separate games like War Machine. And our games are counted together as like part of a team score. That's not how it works in Guild Ball. Guild Ball, each of you plays 3 players, or 3 squaddies, and you try to make a cohesive team and play together. So he only brought his rat catchers, because I think they were full paint. And, I had brought 2 guilds at random because I didn't know what he wanted to do, because we hadn't really talked about it. So we made a team of rat catchers and, order, which had some kind of small, I won't say synergy because that's a stretch. We had a game plan. It didn't really work out for us most times, but we didn't lose horribly. The first game we played against blacksmiths and fish. They also didn't understand the rules properly and didn't realize that the influence pools the models generated were split among the players according to who generated them. So you each generated your own pool and allocated your own pool. So the blacksmith player brought 3 masters, so he had 9 influence. The fish player brought Angel, Fathom, and Vet Sakana. So he had 5 influence, 6 with the bag of coffers. So they won, but it was very close. I don't remember what it was in the end. We did a bunch of takeouts and stuff. We didn't actually get to score, but it was a good game, lots of fun. Blacksmith captains in that environment, or masters, I should say, are brutal, because while they don't do a ton of damage, they'll have tons of good effects and abilities, and with all that influence that they can just use on themselves, it was bad. Like, we had a hard time dealing with it. But it was good fun. Second game, I played against, I guess, U.S. Guild Ball legend Vincent Kirkov from Strictly the Worst, and one of his friends. They were playing Miners and Brewers. It was super grindy, and G and I played kind of horribly. I won't lie. Though I think our score was better in this one. I think we lost like 12 to 10 or 12 to 8. I think the first game we lost, I guess it was also 12 days somewhere in there. I don't really remember. Anyway, we lost, but it was good fun. And then I happen to have some 3D printed miners stuff in my miniature bag. And they didn't have a goal for their miners. They were using it to plane base. So I tossed them a underground drilling machine that was scaled to fit 50 millimeter to use. And I said if they wanted to keep it for the event, well, just keep it, period, to use as a goal. They're welcome to it. They did keep it. And in exchange, Vince gave me a limited edition ball from
Second Wind.
Yeah. The funny thing about that ball is that ball was sculpted by Antoine for them. So I essentially
Small world.
Yeah. I thought that was so cool. And the thing is, I'd wanted one of those balls when Antoine sculpted it. But he was on a timeline. He didn't have time to cast any, nor had he spoken to Vince about whether or not he, you know, could cast them for us. So, you know, he didn't want to... Yeah, the customer was paying for it, right? So he didn't want to just cast some for us without the customer's approval, which I get totally. Antoine, man of integrity, that he is. So I was kind of actually disappointed I didn't get a pizza ball. But now I did get a pizza ball, so life is good. Karma works. And yeah, that was basically all I did at Adepticon for games. During the... Oh, I should tell you this. So during the Guild Ball tournament... I'm playing, and we played a third round, actually, but we got a bye, so we didn't have to play. But during that second game, someone's standing next to me during the game watching, right? And I'm paying attention to the game, and this person is, like, standing really close, and he's getting closer and getting closer. So we finish the round, and we get to the card phase, and I turn around to talk to this guy and tell him to back the hell up. And then I realize it's our buddy Ben, who decided last minute to drive to Adepticon and surprise me by looming over me at a tournament with his groin on my shoulder to see if I'd notice. So that was kind of fun. Oh yeah, so we got the bye in the third round. Then we came back for prizes, and we won, G and I, Best Painted, which is very cool. And so we got some nice Adepticon medals.
They're pretty cool, those medals.
They are.
Mm-hmm. Really cool.
I ain't gonna lie, they are really cool. And we also got some miniatures. So we got G got Chibi Ox, I think. Is that a thing, Chibi Ox?
It's a thing. I mean, yes.
That's a model that exists, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we got Chibi Ox, and I picked up the Solthesian Gutter. The one that I'd wanted before and couldn't. Yeah. So I got two things I wanted out of that tournament. What are the chances of that? I thought that was really awesome. So apparently my Guild Ball teams do look okay. There was actually a really, really nicely painted team there. I don't know why they didn't win. Maybe it was because the only half the team was painted really well and the other half by the other player wasn't painted so nicely. I don't know. But I will take it. So it's cool because I never won a Best Painted for anything before. So it was kind of neat. Get a little bit of recognition for all my hard work.
Congrats.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll get to the real congrats in a second, Yom. It's all reserved for you.
No, I mean, now you know how I feel all the time.
Yeah, so I think we can stop recording and this one won't go out.
Oh, come on.
You'll be in as a doubt.
It was an easy joke to make.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, no, I'm laughing. I'm laughing. That's, wow, you. Wow.
You sound like Paul makes you sound when we talk about you on the show.
That's true. That was a bad idea.
It just explains to listeners why you have no friends. It's all good.
Like other people who don't believe us, now they have proof.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, you miss a jerk. Wow, Paul was right. I'll be like, yep. He's fooled you all. Yeah, so that was the only event I played in Adepticon. I had two scheduled. But, you know, like I said, the tournament for Judgment just didn't work out. These things happen.
And you didn't do the God Tier event?
No.
No, because...
Honestly? We can be honest, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so G did it in the morning. We were registered for the afternoon version, okay? So, he did it in the morning and the models were not ready. So it was just like paper models for a game that is not like finished design, like paper mats, paper tokens, paper everything.
Oh.
So, we asked G, how's the game? And he said, it's okay. So it's like, I'm at Adepticon. There's like friends painting friends everywhere, I'm not gonna go do a paper tournament that is okay.
Yeah, for a game like, that's not good.
Yeah, I'm gonna do something else with my time, so I just joke.
And Paul, you had a similar reaction?
Well, Paul...
Oh, it was Paul the, was the same morning that you had to stay...
at the booth, yeah, the booth, so... Yeah. I was super sleep deprived. I drove the whole way down, just because I'd felt fine the whole way, so there was no real need for him to take over. It did make me very tired when I got there, but that first night, I didn't really sleep well. That's kind of a theme at the con. And so when I woke up the next morning, I woke up super early because I thought I had an early shift in the booth. Turns out I could have slept another 2 or 3 hours. I was on empty by the time that demo or that tournament time came around. And then with the glowing review that G gave it, I was like, well, yeah. Forget it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Like, it was so bad. So, just thinking of the next day during Guild Ball, I swear to God, our opponents must have thought I was some sort of mentally deficient person that G had brought along for the ride.
No.
Oh, because, like, I was rolling dice, and I couldn't read them. Like, I was so tired. Guild Ball, it's like, target number's 3, person has 2 armor, so you roll your dice pool of 7 dice or whatever, you look for all the 3s, and it's 3 or over, you keep, and then you subtract 2 for the armor, right? So I'd roll, like, 7 dice, I'd get 5 dice that were over 3. So in 3, I should have had 3 successes. And I'd be like, okay, that's 1 success. And everyone's looking at me like, what are you talking about? That's 3. I'm like, huh? Like, that's 3 successes. I'm like, it is? Like, I could not function. My brain was just like jello. So I spent half the con in that state. It was not very conducive to competitive play. So maybe it's a good thing I didn't go to that judgment event. Anyway. Yeah, I guess I'll take us right to Adepticon now that we've got my one event out of the way. Overall, you hadn't been in a couple of years. Did you see any big differences this year from previous years?
Hey boy, okay. Yeah, the vendor hall from 4 years ago, I think this year was like 4 times bigger, something like that. I was not expecting that. The vendor hall to be that big. It was really huge. I mean, you just like, woo, go crazy shopping, but it's fun. But, yeah. Second thing, the Fort Wattle.
Oh, the painting area.
Yeah, it's really from 4 years ago, same thing is like double or triple the size, and it's really like well organized. I mean, there's like a... They call it Fort Wattle, but it's the hobby area, and there's like an organization table and organization like room. So they're really well set up, and with all the like lights and like even like a miniature handles that they were like some company just dropped like a bunch of them, like 50 of them or so, so everyone could have some.
Once painted. Hobby holder, right?
Yeah.
Are you talking about
not the hobby holder? It's
Are you talking about the MDF one?
Yes. I don't know who they are. Lightning and Lace. I don't know. That's weird. But yeah. They just gave like MDF handle to like buy in a batch of them so like everybody could use them. So there was a lot more people. Like what it was maybe 2,000 or 3,000 4 years ago, and they clocked at 6,000 on Saturday.
Something like that, I heard, yeah.
So there a lot more people, there were a lot more rooms being used, also for also the gaming. Vendor area was the big surprise. You would have loved it, Antoine, I'm sorry. You would have loved it.
That's fine.
Yeah, I noticed just year over year that there was significant growth. Obviously, it was less of a jump for me because I've been every year for the last few years. So I was curious to see what your impression was. Definitely busy. The it's it's a good thing, but at the same time, it's also a bad thing because it's, I usually go for more of the hobby stuff, like just to hang out with the painters in the hobby area, especially gym and stuff. And it's, it was more crowded.
Mm-hmm.
So it was hard to get painting space.
Mm-hmm. Hard to get parking.
Oh, parking was impossible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was, even if Fort Whipple was that big, it was like mostly full all the time. Like you had to be lucky to find like a table with two spots left that you could like sit down with your friend and paint.
Yep. And then of course there's the people who, you know, just use it as a lounge, like, I'm going to sit and eat my lunch and or, you know, take two lights that are supposed to be for two people to use and use them all myself because I'm working on my crystal brush entry. Like, that irritated me. You know, if you're working on your crystal brush entry, if you're starting it at Adepticon, you're not winning, so don't even bother entering and let people paint.
There were several people working on their crystal brush entry. That was surprising to me.
No, that's every year. People are going to finish it at the con. And I get it. They do. I mean, the pieces are done when they arrive, right? For the most part.
Mm-hmm.
But then what they do is, you know, while they're there, they pick the other painter's brains, get some advice, yeah, get whatever, and then refine.
Yeah. Like Anthony did that, and that helped him in the end. He did some last-minute touch-ups, fine-tuning on his Alpharius that made the cut.
Did his... I didn't notice. Did his For the Horde piece, what it was called? No. The Big Red Orc? That was an interesting piece. It was very rough, but make it sound like I'm some sort of pro painter, but the painting on it I thought was very rough. But I was wondering if that was a stylistic choice.
Yeah. But that's his style. That's his style. He paints more like volume and more in a, like a...
impasto, like... Yeah.
Impressionist. Impressionist, yeah. So that's more his style, like to have a style that pops, that is not too long for what it gives as a result. Really works for him, so.
I wonder how the judges feel about that.
Well, it depends. You know, the panel of judges, there were like five judges this year. And I know like Benchy was one of them. And Benchy likes that. That's pretty much where Anthony took the Benchy class at some point years ago. And that's changed like his approach to painting a lot. Pretty much everyone who took that class like had a revelation, like Faust, same thing.
I know. Didn't you take that class?
Nope. So I had no revelation. I wish I did, though. I wish I did. I mean, years after, people still talk about that class like it changed their life or something. It's like, man, I wish I took that class.
Oh, who knows? Maybe you'll get a chance.
We'll see. Thing is, it's hard to make like big names come down in Quebec because people don't want to pay for the class. It's hard to get participants in Quebec or Eastern Canada, I guess. I mean, Toronto don't have problems. If you go in Alberta or BC, they don't have problems filling the class. It's in Quebec they have problems.
Well, in Quebec, we can't get anyone to go to tournaments for events, you know. They complain they want more events. We run events. They don't show up. So I can see it being a problem for everything. Mm. Yeah. I don't know. I remember when that class happened, people were trying to ask me to go. And I'm like, are you kidding? What would I get from that? I'm like a, you know, wargaming painter, not a painter. Like, I'm sure I'd find it interesting. But I'm sure I'd also be wasting his time and mine.
It's not for everyone. Benchy's class, and he knows that. Like, if he will spot like during a class, and I know that because I talk with people who attended, he will clearly spot the people that his stuff is really talking to, like the one that he can really reach, and he will focus on them, like push them further, harder. He did that with Faust, because he saw that it really like resonated, like resonate with him. So he pushed him harder. So because no, clearly it's not for everyone what he does.
Yeah, and that's fine, right?
Maybe that's not for me, but I don't know. Everybody who attended said it kind of changed their life.
Okay, what were we talking about before we get on that?
I don't. Adepticon in general.
Con, yeah, yeah.
So the general. Big changes. What my impression of the con?
Yeah, it was. I mean, there was gaming. Where open gaming was huge.
Yeah.
A lot of people were playing every night. In fact, I wish I had more time. It seemed like I was always in a hurry to get somewhere. Even though I didn't really have any events scheduled, there was always like a dinner or a something, and I didn't get to do like a lot of stuff I was hoping to get to do. So that's a bit unfortunate. I'll try to do better next year, I guess, if I go.
But it's cool. It was like full of people playing at every time of day. I took a walk at some point at night, and in the open play area upstairs, there were like Judgment games being played, the Arena Rex being played. Of course, like War Machine Hordes, 40k being played, Imperial Titanicus being played also. There was also a 32 mil scale, like a 40k scale Titan game being played also. That was impressive.
Well, that would have been cool. That I could have got down for.
No, there was a lot of gaming. But I didn't game at all. Yeah. I was registered for Nurgle Don't Surf because I thought we were doing it together. But once Antoine couldn't come and you went with G in a team tournament for Guild Ball, I was suddenly alone to go to that event where it's just basically rolling dice in a 40k with 40k rules. So it's like, no. I'm gonna go find some painters to talk to instead. That was right. Like the big thing for me. All the painters were there. All the painters I met online over the years that I never met in real life. Everybody was there. I don't have much friends in the European painters, but I mean, their mere presence bring everybody in. So like. It was, you could always find someone to talk in the painting session. There was always someone. Seeing people from 4 years ago was also cool. But, yeah, some people I've met online just after my first Adepticon. It was finding the time to meet them in person. Can I do like shout outs or something?
Yeah, sure.
Sure, why not?
Well, of course, you will expect the big, big thing for me was to finally meet Mark Maxey in person. I mean, we always talk
you
about
met
that
him?
Guy. No, I never met him before. Never. I talk about him all the time, and I talk with him like on Facebook all the time, but I never met him.
Surprise. That's just weird. I thought for sure you'd met him.
Nope.
I guess we didn't know him 4 years ago. Okay.
Yeah, no, I didn't. Like, I met him after my first Adepticon. We got, Antonio, you will remember, the commission for Arcadia Quest.
Oh, yes.
And he was part, because they were, like, doing a Kickstarter, they needed extra painters. So me, Antonio, and Mark were brought on board. That's how I met him. I liked his stuff. I started talking to him. And he liked my stuff, so we just started talking. But I never met him because it was after Adepticon.
I hope you didn't let him down too much.
Don't say that now. I'm stressed. No, I think it was fine. No, it was really great. Really great to finally meet you, Mark, if you're listening, because I know you're listening. Also,
if you're listening, because I know you're listening. Okay, that's only slightly weird. But it's true, Mark does listen. He actually mentioned that he enjoys my coming up with weird names for Antoine, or weird adjectives for Antoine every episode. So.
I'm sure he is not alone. I think only Antoine disliked that. And I'm not even sure Antoine disliked that.
Yes, I do.
So, hello, Mark. Also, another allied was to meet Chris Surrey, another great friend that I met online, that we like me and Mark, me and Chris, we always bounce ideas when we paint big projects. So, like, we ask for either advice or just opinions. You know, you do that with several painters, and you take or leave some of the opinions, and that just helps you fine-tune your piece. So, I mean, I've been talking with Chris for forever, and it was really great to finally meet him, and he's an amazing, amazing guy also. Very, very, like, down to earth, and he's really cool. Like, I took a class with him. I wanted to talk about my classes after, because I took 4 classes, but,
Oh, sure.
Yeah. So I'll come back to Chris after that. It was really nice to meet him. Oh, another guy I met, Eric Swinson. I found I met him a while ago because he worked on like a Barker bust and a Nemo bust, and his Barker bust, I used as inspiration to do my own version of the Barker bust. So I've been like, I known his name for a while, but I had no clue what he looked like, because he used his Nemo bust as an avatar online. So I had no idea. I never seen a picture of the guy. So this guy is with Chris Surrey, and we just start talking, the three of us, and we work around. We go to the crystal boot, crystal brush boot, to check out the entries, and we discuss the entries. And like, it's been like a 45 minutes, an hour that I've been with those two guys. And you know, our name tags always flipped around, so our names were not showing. So at some point, my name tag flipped on the right side, and he sees my name. He was like, "Hey, you're Yum!" And he showed me his name tag, and it's Eric Swinson. So it's like, dude, we've been talking for an hour without knowing. So that was the funny part. See, you even connect with those people in person even when you don't. You know, there's something. So. But great guy also. Like several people I never met in person. But like Lynn Stahl, never met her. It was my first time.
Oh, wow. See, that?
See, and same thing, like my badge, nobody wore how I would like turn it around or like flip my card around or something. It was always on the wrong side. So same thing when I showed my name tag to people, because nobody knew what I looked like. Like, I will talk to them, and they will be okay, fine. And then they will see my name, and I was like, oh, that's you! Like, when I met Michelle Farnsworth, I saw her, like, hey, Michelle! So I gave her a hug, and she's like, okay, like, awkward hug. And it was only the day after that she came to me saying, I did not, like, recognize you yesterday. So we had a redo of, hey, Michelle! Hey, Yum!
That's too funny.
Yeah, the first day was awkward because, like, clearly, like, something was wrong. But no, after that, it was fine. Yeji was there. Lauren Fahey also that I've met online, that we talk and we love each other's work. So people like that. Nestor Medina that is on the page. Nessie knows.
Okay, I didn't know he's from anything. He's just the guy that ran the kill team thing for me at Captain Con. I had no idea he was.
Yeah, well, I think he runs a rather popular page, and he's in every con, and a lot of people know him. Again, aside from that, from 4 years ago, I met Sinjin, Shoshi.
Yep.
So it was nice to see them again, Katy and Jim. Katy, I didn't really talk 4 years ago, but since then we became like friends. So it was a lot easier to get along with her this time. She's like a very gentle soul. That Katy, she's in a special place all the time. It seems like it.
She's almost like a skittish animal, right? Like she's not really, but she comes off of that at first. Like,
but we had a really great time talking. I talk more with Katy than with Jim at this con.
Well, I hardly saw Jim.
So. Jim was never there. I mean, the legend of Jim Walpole, it was never at his desk painting. I wanted to look at him painting to try to understand, but he was never at his desk.
I think you have to understand his painting hours are our sleeping hours. So we were talking because, you know, he noticed I didn't really get a chance to hang out with him. He's like, you know, we should do a painting hangout, so you and I. I'm like, oh, that'd be cool. And he's like, yeah, you know, I do them all the time with Trevor, who's another guy who I see at every con. And I'm like, okay, that'd be great. And he's like, yeah, you know, I do it almost every night. I'm like, okay, cool. What time do you paint, Jim? Oh, it's after Kathy goes to bed, so like, 12:30, 1 o'clock. I'm like, okay. So I'm an hour ahead of you, so that's like, 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning for me. So I don't expect me to do too many painting hangouts with Jim Walpole, but I'll try.
Damn. So he's like you?
Well, that's actually, we talked a lot when I was, when Muriel was younger and I didn't sleep at night. I'd often sit up half the night chatting with him while Muriel was screaming at me. Because he was the only other soul in the world that was awake.
That's how you connected with him. Me, I had to win a crystal brush to connect with Jim.
I connected with Jim actually at ReaperCon years ago. I sat there and painted with him for 4 days straight. He taught me a lot, actually. A lot of the way I paint now is directly ripped off of Wapple. A poor imitation, to be sure, but ripped off all the same. It's always fun seeing the painters and seeing what they're working on and chatting.
Mm-hmm. We got to touch base with fellow Canucks also. Like, there was my cousins, Aggie and Ben Turner.
Yep.
They were there. And I'm jumping on a project with Aggie and Ben for the next Nova, but more details will follow. We assembled a really big crew of painter this year. Again, it's going to be impressive.
Well, it better be. Because last year was a bit of a letdown, just saying.
It's going to be great, man. Super motivated people. It's going to be great. Eric is in. Chris, a lot of people are back, and new people are in. So, but I guess I'll talk about it. I'm gonna give a teaser. Chris is back. Dallas Kemp is back. We have Jordan Lemb. We have Faust. Faust joined the group. Eric Swinson is in. Tivonian is in. There's a lot of good people.
Well then, I will wait with bated breath.
It's going to be a big, like, a Mon-Puck starter, like, more than a starter, I guess. It's going to be two full armies, one for the defenders with their robots, and one with the planet eaters. The rabbits. The guard. It's going to be, like, two robots aside, two guards aside, and two monsters aside. It's going to be, it's going to be big.
The planet eaters?
So, yeah, two planet eaters and two guards with all the units. It's going to be... A big raffle.
That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. You're gonna have to come to Nova Open with us to actually see it.
And it's closer. Maybe I could convince people to go to Nova. We don't know, because now I'm looking for another occasion to meet Mark or Chris again, because I don't know when I will see them again. I don't want to wait 4 years. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, well, Nova's only slightly closer than Chicago, right? It's 10 hours. So don't get too excited.
Well, 10 is
it's
better.
It's 4 hours 14. Closer. Yeah.
Also, we saw Rhonda.
Yes.
Yeah. We saw Jess Rich was there.
Jessica Rich.
Also happy to see.
If she wasn't supposed to make it, then made it the last moment, so.
Yeah. I'm not sure what happened, but she... I don't know if it was physical or money wise. I don't know, but yeah, she found a way to attend. She didn't enter anything, but because she does mostly 2D art now. But it was nice to see her for sure.
Yeah, she was working with Mr. Justin over in the secret weapon booth.
Mm-hmm. other people I got the chance to touch base with, Matt DiPietro, who taught me, who told me a really funny story about his videos for Miniature Monthly. He does about like a video a month or something, but he moved like back in the country. Like he's really far away from any cities. He lives like in the woods, and his internet is really bad. So when he's done filming a video, he sent it by mail. It's like, what year is this that you send video by mail while living in the States?
Wow. The Stone Age is called. They want you back.
Only way to get HD videos, it says it makes no sense to send it on. Like, through the internet, it's too slow. It takes forever. So, yeah. That was okay. That's a big particular story. But yeah, fun guy. Like, we had a long discussion, me, Matt, and Riccardo Agostini from Italy. I don't know.
Is he the not Manticore, Chimera guy?
Well, he works for Chimera Models. He's not the owner. He works for them.
No. But he's the guy we took the class with, right?
Yeah. So we had a long discussion that. Like started well about like painting and art, and then like slowly like fell into like politics and the state of the world and everything. So,
oh, that's a downward spiral.
Yeah. So apparently, the whole world is in the same boat. Yep. The situation is the same everywhere. So, but we're not a political podcast. We want to do this.
Politics have no place in this podcast.
Yeah. Well. I didn't know like Riccardo that well. I didn't know Matt that well, but we were just three guys talking politics. At that time, day one, starts wrong. So Jenny Lee, that I was wondering if she would remember me, but I guess she did. After that Arcade Quest thing, we didn't really.
You don't meet people as arrogant as you every day, Yom. You're hard to forget.
Meet people like what? What?
As arrogant as you every day, so you're hard to forget.
See, I made one joke. All the other things.
I know.
But no,
I'm just
nice
angry because I don't paint as well as you. There you go.
Ah.
That's got to be it.
Jealousy. A report that we saw Sam Lenz. He's the most metal man we know.
Yeah. Sam Lenz. I wish I knew Sam Lenz. I've never really spoken to him. I mean, I know who he is. He's hard to mistake for anyone. But I do not really know him.
Yeah. I'm not sure how you do get to meet him, because I wish I knew him better too. I know that Mark's a really good friend of his. Like, he knows who I am, because I guess I'm arrogant enough to be on his radar. But No, but we also met Aaron Lovejoy, Ben Comet, Devonian Maher, who does a lot of work for the War Machine Painting Group, but he does a lot of work everywhere, basically at cons and online.
Who?
Devonian Maher. Who's the guy with the toque and the two full sleeves of tattoos?
I have no idea who this person is. Okay.
Okay, like an eye coughing regime also. No, okay.
Means nothing to me. Sorry.
That's the people I wanted to give a shout out to. Also, from that, I took four classes. I took two with Riccardo Agostini. NMM class with that we were, I thought me and Antoine supposed to attend.
Well, and, I attended that one also.
Yeah, sure. But we're not sitting. Yeah, right next to each other. So me and all of us.
I was
right?
Like, "Hey, Yom, there's a seat for two of us right there." And then you sat down by yourself with someone else. I'm like, okay.
I went and sat in the front.
Yeah,
I didn't hear that, man.
I wasn't gonna start a scene in the class. Like, yo, why are you gonna be a dick? But
I'm gonna sit with this total stranger here because it appeals to me somehow.
Because the only other option is sitting with you, Paul. So I'm gonna sit with a stranger.
maybe would have made the class better. Ooh. Oh. And
I was sitting with the 40k brigade.
I had another class with him the day after about faces. Well, the NMM was supposed to be gold and steel. And the faces were supposed to be faces, hair, and skin tones. And eyes, I think. Yeah.
Jesus.
But you know, no, it was the first time for Ricardo teaching for him. He also, it's English is not his first language. So he had trouble with the beat, with the tempo, I guess, of his class. So we didn't see much. Like, we only saw, like, gold, but even, like, gold NMM was, like, the basic, basic stuff. Like, how to start, but, like, I took the class because I saw what they could do on Chimera models. I was like, wow, I want to learn how to do gold NMM like that. But we didn't have enough time. Same with the faces. We didn't have enough time. We just saw, like, how to put the first light and to understand the shadows and the pigments. Like, he spent like half an hour on color theory. So basically we didn't touch air at all, or even faces were just like basic stuff.
I think so. The problem was that I think, like, at least in the class I took with you, I don't think he necessarily realized how big the classes were. Nor that, you know, not everyone there would be a experienced painter. So trying to do NMM when you can't even do basic blending is really tough, right? And, like, I know on our end, like, where I was sitting, the three people, like, I was in the front row on a corner, so the three people that surrounded me, essentially, because it was 2x2 tables, none of them could blend or could really understood what they were doing. And I looked around on the other side, and I kind of got the impression there was other people, like, in the same boat. And I really think they got the impression, because the class was called, like, you know, Simple and Easy Non-Metallic Metal or whatever, that they literally thought it was going to be, okay, I don't really need to know anything about painting. I'll just show up and learn non-metallic metal painting.
Yeah. Yeah, because it was going from one student to the other, but the classes were big.
Yeah.
So it took a lot of time doing that.
He was trying to do his best by every student, so I really appreciate that.
Oh, he's a nice guy.
But I think it's just not really possible in classes that size. And then, of course, he'd take time to try to touch up people's models so they wouldn't be behind the rest of the class. But if you're doing that three or four times in a class of 20 people, and you only have an hour and a half to teach, it becomes really tough, right? You can't keep that up. Just end up falling behind.
Yep. Which happened. But it happened with the two classes, so that's like, eh. But I guess he'll get the hang of it, or he will change his format at some point. It was just starting, right? Maybe I also need to pay more attention to the tag. Like, I must not take classes that says beginner or intermediate. I don't know what was the tag for those, but if I go back, I need to look for advanced or expert.
I think it was intermediate class, because I took it. I wouldn't take an advanced class, and I wouldn't take a beginner's class, so.
Aside from that, my two other classes, there was one which was a freehand with David Powell. That was a really cool class, and probably my favorite. He gave, like, tips and tricks. It was a demonstration class, so, you know, he had a camera and a big screen in HD. And he was showing how to do stuff and explaining why he had to do it like that. And, like, he's how to calculate and, like, patterns and everything. So how to replicate and how to break down, like, a complex, like, a freehand pattern or a complex freehand icon, like a logo or a symbol, and to disassemble it into little parts that were easier to paint. So an hour and a half again, and he gave lots of tips and tricks on how to do, and he demonstrated how to do, like, symbol freehand or pattern freehand or tartan. That was really great and thorough, and he gave a lot of good tips and tricks, and that was really interesting. And I want to talk to something he was doing. a very cool use of a jeweler's clamp, but not the jeweler's clamp that you hold like in a handle. It's one that has a foot or a base. So it's on the table, but it's like a very like heavy like base, you know, that it doesn't move, right? So
yep.
You put that clamp and the thing and the like the shield or the model on that clamp in an angle, because you can change the angle so you can work on it. So that freeze is second hand. Like you can work with both hands. And the idea behind that is when you do a pattern like that, that is like that has a mathematic formula, we could say. Like that is like repetitive and you need to calculate and stuff. He makes a little ruler, like one on a sheet of paper, so that when with his first hand, he can apply the piece of paper and bend it, like to follow the shape of the model. And then he used that, like he put dots on that little piece of paper. And so he can use that as a ruler to put the dots on the model, because he can use his second hand to hold the ruler. So that's then you clever. Put your dots and then you can draw like from one dot to that other dot. And then you always go like diagonal step one. Tack, tack, tack. So you do step one and then you go step two. Rely like that point to that other point in a straight line down. And then you do that like for all the patterns. So that's how you create patterns. But using the second end with the ruler is like, with a piece of paper that could bend to follow the shape of the model because of that clamp. It's like, okay, I feel dumb. Like that's a really nice idea. I need to get myself one of those.
Yeah, when you told me that at the event, I was like, that is super clever.
Yeah, it was a good class that I walked out of it like with no new notions and inspiration and ideas. Yeah, pretty cool. I felt motivated after that class. And my last class was with Chris Surrey. It was a composition class. Like how to place your elements but it was more how to get that. It was more interesting because it was a glimpse into the Chris Surrey process. The guy does a lot of research. You know, like I do sketches of what I want to do, like from time to time. Like I have an idea, I will do like a sketches for how I want to position a model. What kind of base I want to do. Like, you do that also, Antoine, I'm sure. But he has, like, a big sketchbook that he brings, like, everywhere that he constantly makes sketches about everything. And he write down everything. Like, if he sees a model that could work for a project, he will go back to the page of that project and write down, like, the model name and the company. And he write down everything. He take measurement of everything. Like, you will look at, this category allows entries that goes from this dimension maximum dimension. So, it will write that down and see what kind of miniature you can bring or project you can do, always respecting that ratio. And it was really interesting to get into that, the process of how it does things. And he tried to inspire us, but these are things that we already do. Like, always be on the lookout for things you can use on a base that would look like different on a miniature scale. But also like to think outside the box, how to combine different elements and to compensate if you're missing an element, what can you use instead of that? And he gave a lot of tips and tricks about how to like do tufts of grass or leaves. So it was a really like complex like class on how to build really cool bases and how to build a composition that will augment a miniature, the impression of a miniature. So that was really interesting. The guy calculates everything and thinks of everything. I had respect for Chris before the class, and I just had more respect for his process after the class. His pieces,
very, very cool.
Yeah, you saw his pieces for the crystal brush. It was all the Norse mythology pieces.
And no, I missed that. But
okay, composition wise, they were the strong ones in the competition. Everything had a reason to be there. Like every single little element had a reason to be there. Like he will read tons of books on Norse mythology before building his scene, and will like do a tons of sketches. So he would bring all the element. Everything had a reason to be like. If he painted like a crow on the side there, there's a reason why it's at exactly that position. He thinks of just everything, that guy.
That's cool. I didn't actually look at the crystal brush case, so I didn't see anything.
Yeah, man, you missed out.
Not really. I don't really go there for crystal brush, so.
Yeah, but you don't find it inspiring? No? I mean, it's amazing. There's like so many cool pieces.
Right, but I have the internet and I can look at the pictures.
But then you only see those who make the cut. You don't see everything.
True.
And some look better in pictures also. You get always a better idea of a model when you look at it in front of you.
I'm not arguing that. I'm actually not arguing anything at all. I just don't have... I'm not an artist, right? So I don't approach... the whole event from an artist perspective, unlike you. I approach it from I like to paint and hang out with friends, so I go there to paint and hang out with friends. But I don't really have any interest or aspirations, right, of ever entering painting contests or anything like that. So I used to like rush the crystal brush case, then I realized it's just a giant pain because it's always got a crowd, you know, always people trying to push in front of you to see stuff. It's just kind of obnoxious. So, the minis are cool. I get to see a lot of them at the painting table, like, before they're entered. I can see the pictures online, the ones that made the cut, which are the quote-unquote important ones. I mean, I went and voted for you, so... like, I did my duty as a friend.
Yeah, true. That after the event, I brought back my miniatures to the painting area to show to some people like that, so that they could see my old display. But because out of my 5 entries, only 2 make the cut. Plus, I had 6 entries, but there was no category for it. So I could show like my pieces in person. And that's how I got my picture with Tiny Catty. You know, Catty Waples, she has like a miniature version of herself.
Oh, I know. I was there when she sculpted it.
Yeah. So she, like for people who don't know, she used that miniature. She put it next to other models or on people or something. Anyone. And she takes picture of everything with her Tiny Catty. The Adventures of Tiny Catty. So I got my picture with Tiny Catty with Melly the Mechanic, who didn't make the cut, but just happened. So wouldn't have without it. But it's a good idea in a way to bring back your models or to show them before you put them into the case to the painter's area. That's where the interest lies, right? With your friends next to you. Somebody want to take over? I mean, I can talk about Crystal Brush now, but.
Well, I mean, we're actually running long, so why don't you power through Crystal Brush, Yom?
All right. I have 2 entries that make the judges cut. It was my Hesa the Purple Witch by Midnight Heroes and Noriko the Red Samurai / Honey Hunter by AMSA Miniatures, the guys from Alberta.
The Albertan Miniature Painter Society of Alberta?
Yeah, by Albertans.
I love that name.
The name is cool. The name is funny.
Or as my wife calls it, the redundant of redundancy.
C'est bon. I like that. All right. I got my witch. She got silver in the Shibi category. Which I was really super stoked.
And that was a tough category. The funny thing was that the piece that won gold was not intended for that category.
Yeah, the guy was thinking of entering it into the Song of Ice and Fire, but he misread the category. Like it thought it was only intended for the Song of Ice and Fire team, but no, it was limited to the board game that they released. So he could not enter it into that category. So since it was a Shibi, it fit the criteria. So he put that into Shibi and won gold. And he was really surprised that he won. Like, he was taken aback when he won. He didn't like stand up right away. He was really surprised. And even after the show, it was like, wow. And people was like shaking his hand. It was like, really? We like that? You like my miniature? Really? Yeah, man.
It was a gorgeous piece. Like,
yes.
It was extremely well done. He seemed a little starstruck. I saw him talking with Jim Wappel and stuff, and he was like, you know, I hear Jim Wappel, right? Like, I really like your stuff, and you know, it was kind of funny.
Yeah,
but he totally deserved that win. No offense. Yep. Your piece was gorgeous.
Oh,
his was very nice.
Oh no, I knew right away when I saw it in the case. I knew that would win, and it won. And it's fair game because it was a beautiful piece. Yeah. Noriko, who made the cut and went to the online voting, didn't place in the boss category, but a friend made me realize later that you can sort the score on the online voting, like on the Kill Cool Mini gallery. You can sort by score. And she had the best score in Bust. She won the popular vote in Bust, and that I was not expecting at all. Because I did not really promote her here anywhere. I put it on my page, and that's it. People like were promoting their models in every painting group, but I didn't. So it really, I guess, talked to people. It was not the strongest piece. I don't know. I was really surprised, but like honored that people would like her so much, that so many people voted for her. So yeah, she won the popular. She won the vote in Bust, and even in the overall vote, like you can mix all the categories together, all the entries that make the judges cut, and even there, she was 7th overall. She was in 7th place overall for the popular vote. So like she got a lot of vote. So
that's pretty awesome.
That's really cool. I was not expecting that at all. So, I mean, a lot of people came to me saying that she was, like, beautiful. And when people ask me what miniature I put in the case and I show them Noriko's, like, oh, yeah, I know that one. Like, I really liked her. Like, it was the general, like, reaction I got when I showed the model to people. But I was not expecting her to do that well. So I'm really, really flattered. And, yeah. And finally, Creature Caster, they were running a side competition for their own miniatures. I did not place, but made the final cut. So, like, I think it was like, the 5 best piece, and then they made a podium out of that. So I was 4th or 5th, I suppose. So did not win, but I got a cool t-shirt.
Well, that's always cool.
Yeah, and
Creature Caster came very close to getting a ton of my money.
We were always at that boot.
Well, their models are so nice. I was like, I could buy this. What would I use it for? To play 40K, a game I don't really play. Like, it's tough, but their models are lovely, and I think they're very reasonably priced for what they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I bought a 3rd generation over there. Because that's pretty much what I call them now. Like, what I painted was a 1st generation. But I bought a smaller one, a 3rd gen. It's in the mail right now. It's pretty, pretty cool. So, yeah. Sorry, that took forever. I wanted to give a shout out to everyone. I was really happy to meet all those people and to attend Adepticon. I hope it won't be 4 years since I have a chance to go back. So sorry it took for so long.
That's no problem.
I had a lot to say. I'm never on that show, so yeah.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Special young.
And now we know why. So that wraps up the show. No, I'm just kidding. it was low hanging fruit, and I had to pick it.
Yeah.
No worries.
Right in the teeth.
Yeah. Well, no, it's interesting in your point of view. I mean, I didn't have much to say. I'll be honest. The show was fun, but it was kind of a waste for me. I feel like I didn't really accomplish or do anything while I was there. So it was like I drove 30 hours to have a piece of pizza and eat a hot dog and then came home. Like,
but it was a great hot dog.
It was the Portillo's Maxwell Street Polish, which technically isn't a hot dog, I guess. It's very delicious. And it makes me wish someplace here served Polish sausage like that. Alas, there is no one here that serves something like that. So sad, Paul. Yeah, the event was kind of a I don't want to say a waste of time. Like, I had fun, and it was good times. I enjoyed the little bit of painting I got to do that one night, but on the whole, it was I didn't get what I wanted done. So, I don't know. And now, I guess we'll talk very briefly about some changes they're going to do. So, I think has it been publicly announced now that next year, no Crystal Brush? I know I see people talking about it and how it's pretty much a done deal. I know I was told that CIMON didn't renew their booth next year. So if there's no booth, I don't imagine they'll be doing a painting competition.
Hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see what the future holds for Adepticon.
Yeah.
I mean, I assume there'll be some sort of painting competition.
Yeah, because there will be a void after they leave. So something will replace it, but will it bring all those people in? If it's not big enough, it won't bring the European. If it doesn't bring the European, will people show up in huge numbers?
Like, well, how many people show up in huge numbers for the actual painting classes, right? Like, of the 6,000 people there, how many people were there for the European painters? It's probably a pretty small percentage. We don't know. And I'm not knocking their reason for being there or the fact that they're there. But overall...
Overall, let's no. But like I was talking with Yom before the event, for people who go for Crystal Brush and for other painter, like Yom himself, it drops the interest of the convention.
Absolutely.
It's a small percentage, but it's a dedicated bunch.
Yeah, no, for sure. So, I mean, we'll probably see, you know, less people there next year. I don't imagine we'll see some of the Europeans. I mean, there's talk about what people would like to see. I think we'll see more vendor-based painting competitions, like the Arena Rex and Creature Caster ones. I think we'll see more of that. We may see an overall con painting competition, but I don't think it's going to be as prestigious. And that whether that's good or bad, not for me to judge.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just a schmuck who doesn't enter anything anyway, so it doesn't matter. Hopefully, it'd be nice to see a
category for schmucks.
Well, no, like an open painting competition, right?
Yeah,
I'd like to see that style as opposed to podium.
And it's so popular now, the open format, that I think they will switch to that. It's what people want. Think.
Well, it's like the format for millennials, right? Everyone wins. Oh, I'm gonna get hate mail for that one. No, but seriously, it's a good format because it's tough, like to strictly rank pieces as, you know, good, better, best, and everyone else isn't good enough. It's tough when the painting gets to a certain caliber, right? Because then you're not looking for painting. You're not looking at the painting so much as you're looking for flaws, because it becomes the only way to differentiate stuff. Like three masters painting or four masters, like it's hard to really rank because it's not technique you can base on because they're all masters. So you have to go, it's a bit of personal choice, a bit of other stuff. It's, you know, it's almost nebulous stuff. So I think it really becomes tough. Whereas on open competition, you can give all those three people gold and feel confident you made the right choice because they all deserve a gold. You know, it's supposed to be art, right? Art's subjective. How do you really say someone's art is better than someone else's when they're all kind of at the same technique level?
Yeah. After that, you know, it falls down to palette and ambience and composition. I get your point.
Yeah, I had a point. I'm glad that went over well because I thought for sure you were going to tear me down.
No, it's good. Open format is going to be very different, obviously. Hopefully, it's going to be without the big cash prize, going to be a lot less political. Because Crystal Brush. It moves masses, but it has issues.
The popular vote is a mistake, I think.
Yeah.
I've never understood the judging people based on pictures.
No. Well, no. Me neither. Like, to have a People's Choice Award, it's good, but to have it, like, determine every podium in every category, meh. Based on pictures, yeah.
Like, I understand why they do that, right? Because that's what CIMON was.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big part of the word was.
Was, yeah. It's a relic of the past.
Yeah, well.
No, I think it's time for it to go away when, yeah. I guess it's a good time for it to go away. Because people are, like, unhappy about the system. But they attend because everybody's there. It's the big show of the year in the US, so you attend. But our people aren't happy, so it's time to leave now. Yeah. I mean, Adepticon would survive, but I don't know where the Panthers are gonna go. What's gonna be the next best thing? That I don't know. Where will I be able to see my friends again? I don't know. Something else will happen, but I don't know what it would be.
Yeah. That's true. And will it be better or will it be worse? You never know. Yeah. One of the things people talk about was, you know, why is CIMON pulling out? Like, financial reasons, look at their share price. Well, I don't think that's necessarily true. Their share price is not reflective of much of anything. They haven't run a major Kickstarter this year. So their revenue dollars are down because they haven't had a cash influx, right? Which means they're not paying the dividends they were, so shareholders pull out. It doesn't mean anything. They're still profitable. But their business focus has shifted. It used to be CIMON started out. You went there, you posted your pictures of your minis, and everyone rated you, and, you know, everyone patted you on the back, or hated on you for it. Whatever. But that was okay, because the point was they were driving traffic to the site, so people would shop in their online store, because they sold all those boutique models. You couldn't just get them anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were going to paint something and you were looking for something unique or something like a specialty high-end, you bought it at CIMON. So doing the crystal brush and paying that cash prize made sense because it was like advertising for your site that was generating you revenue. It was just an advertising expense. But now that site's not their moneymaker, it's their Kickstarters. So why dump $10,000 a year plus, because the booth costs and, you know, the trophies and everything else, into an advertising expense, it's not generating you any money.
No.
It's not like they were in it for the art form, right? Not really. Not in the last several years, anyway. I mean, they're...
Because their fortune, and like you said, it doesn't bring them anything. I don't see what it brings them. It's not going to put more traffic to their site. Once Crystal Brush is done, you don't go shopping on their site. And boutique models, now you can buy, man, everywhere.
Yeah, and you buy them direct.
Yeah. I don't see why they would continue to do it. I don't see. Like, even like the big models are like all like custom pieces or unique pieces that like masters in Europe or master sculptors in Europe are doing. So you cannot buy them on CIMON. I mean, that's the models that win each year. Each and every year. So, I don't see the point of continue for them to have that competition. I was glad to attend one last time and to win a crystal brush, a silver crystal brush. But, part of the swag bag, they were giving like a Necromancer model for a new game that's going to hit Kickstarter called Starside. And Mark Maxey was talking about doing, a paint off, like a with friends, but he told me, but you know, it's only for Crystal Brush winners. You have to win in order to participate. Yeah, I'm sorry, you're not in the cool kids club.
Oh, that's right, because you haven't won a Crystal Brush. You got
So after I won, he came to me and said, now you can participate in the paint off, y'all.
Nice. You know, Mark is such an awesome guy. Have we ever had him on the show?
Yep. episode
we did, right?
46 or something like that. We talked about chibis.
Of course you did. It's Mark Maxey. What else did we talk about? Yom? That's the only thing he loves almost as much as chibis. There's some serious man crush stuff going on there, I swear. I saw your hand holding. You thought no one was looking, but I saw it.
No, no, anyway. No. Yes, it is a good friend. It's fun to meet him in person because it's weird that you develop such a like a close friendship with someone.
With someone you've never met?
That's just weird. But
I had not realized that you'd never met him. I mean, it makes sense, and I think about it, like, all the timeline. Oh, yeah.
It's like, after I won my silver crystal brush, I thanked the judges. I turn around, and he's in the front row. I'm like, hey! So he stand up, hey! Give me a hug. That before I could have a chance to sit down. It's like, yes, he's my friend. He's a good friend.
Yeah, you could do a lot worse.
He's a cool guy.
A lot worse. Yeah, he is. He's a very cool
and
guy.
And he's kind of a jackass, so you would... I mean, it's like he constantly like gives me shit also. So you're like the Paul away from Paul. He's like the Paul away from Paul.
That's true. He kind of has that same... that's true. Hadn't thought of it that way. Anyway, we've been rambling forever. This show's going to take forever to edit. And it's no way going to be released for tomorrow, which is the day we usually release. So I guess it'll release on Friday. Yeah, if there's anything else you'd like to know about Adepticon people, feel free to poke us, and we'll answer any questions. I'll do it so it won't take 4 hours. And yeah, it's all good. All right, Antoine, we had a couple news items. Let's hit that quick.
We'll do one. The other can wait because there's no timeline on it. So at least the show will go fast. So the project I want to mention, it's a Kickstarter project by Goblin King Games. They are doing an expansion for Moonstone, the whimsical fantasy skirmish game. So this is for a whole new faction. The Leshavut, Leshavolt.
There's rabbits, Yom. Just saying.
Oh!
Rabbit, jackalopes, there's a bunny summoner. So it's a bunch of crazy forest people who follow a strange god. So it's completely outside of the other factions already in the game. And contrary to the other faction, the factions are mainly mono races. This one, it's all mixed up. It's all followers of that strange Leshavit god. So, bunch of really cool concept model. And on top of that, they do have some new miniatures for the other factions too that will get out with the different stretch goals.
Wow, the fairy models. I have a picture of this painted fairy. She is gorgeous.
The fairy are really cool. The fairies.
They're completely beyond my skill, but gorgeous.
Yeah, that's so awesome. I have the original starter for the game. I have not played it yet.
Of course,
I really
you do.
Like the concept of it, and this new faction is cool. So I look forward to seeing the beta rules are available if people want to look at them. There is just about a week left to the Kickstarter, so by the time we release, it will be less than a week. So go check it out. If you like skirmish game, you like fantasy, you like kind of whimsy, strange.
It makes me think of Relics.
Yeah, a bit. Yeah.
Or what's the other game? The other skirmish game with the jumping models that were also a bit different. Oh, Relic Blade?
There is Relic Blade. It
had like a lizardy.
Yes. Yeah, pigmans and iguans and stuff like that. Yeah.
Or what was the Spanish game with the children, the grasshopper children and the
Nemesis.
Nemesis, yeah. Yep. All these cool other games. It makes me think of these.
So it fits about right then. The Kickstarter is already over their basic goal. They're in stretch goal mode. They have about 2.5 times their goal, something like that. So it's funded. They have already completed a previous Kickstarter or two previous Kickstarters, so it's more safe. And this one is a bit smaller in scope, so I don't see any problem really with it going forward and delivering.
Yeah, well, I mean, they've already hit their initial target, right? So,
yep.
At that point, and since they've got experience, they're not likely to come up with any surprises. It should be a pretty safe bet.
Yes. So that's it.
That's it?
Yes.
Alrighty, well, Yom, it's been real having you on. And
it's been real. Wow.
No, it's been a pleasure having you on, as always. It was fun to get up to go with you. Here. I want to say it was great having you at Adepticon. Lots of fun. Thanks for helping with the driving. I really appreciated it.
Yeah, you could rest a bit at some point.
Yeah, it was strange. Yeah.
I was glad you did. Now, I didn't mind when you both fell asleep. I was like, okay, it's cool. They're fairly resting. Anyway. Yeah.
It was nice that those couple hours I had in the car recharged my batteries, let me make it through the whole day yesterday on just 2 hours of sleep. And here I am.
Well, thank you for having me, and thank you for coming with me and WQCon. And I promise I won't be on the show for the next 4 months. So,
oh, maybe compensate. We'll have you back. You never know; stranger things have happened. You. I occasionally forget how long-winded you are. Make the mistake of inviting you back. It's all good. All right, guys. I'll talk to you all later.
All right. Bye.
Bye, geeks.
Thanks for listening to Geeks of the North. If you want to contact us, you can email us at geeksofthenorth@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/geeksofthenorth, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks of the North. You can follow me, Paul, at PRFilio, Antoine at Eltonio Berg, Steve at B_Steve, and if you really feel the need, I guess you can follow Yom. He's at Yomasta. Breaks and outro music by LaDrave. You can listen to them at ladrave.bandcamp.com. See you next time, geeks.
Thank you for checking out United Geeks Network Family Member. If you enjoyed it and are looking for other online media with a geek culture slant, head over to UnitedGeeksNetwork.com, where you will find Who, What, Why, a game design podcast. A podcast that talks about the ins and outs of game design with game designers. The United Geeks Network. You can broadcast your geekiness at UnitedGeeksNetwork.com.